Good morning and welcome. And happy Father's Day to all the dads here with us. Personally, as a father of four children, I know how hectic life can get at times in trying to raise our kids. Yet, regardless of the struggles that we may face, let us never forget that it is our fatherly duty to always reveal our love to our children. Just like our Heavenly Father always shows us His love for us and continues to show His love for us regardless of how often we may sin against Him. During this past week, some of my coworkers have been asking me if I had any big plans for Father's Day. My response has been one of just hoping to be able to spend a day peacefully with my wife and kids. Truth be told, while I do enjoy Father's Day, it actually doesn't have a whole lot of appeal to me, mainly because I prefer to view Father's Day as the day when my oldest was born. Granted, my fatherly duties began long before her birth, with me helping my wife throughout our first pregnancy. However, it was on the day of my oldest child's birth that my identity as a father came into fruition. I still remember the various emotions and thoughts that were racing through my mind during those first few days. One particular memory I have occurred while my wife Sarah was still in the hospital resting up. Some friends of ours had offered to take me out for dinner. While at dinner, I pondered the thought of what kind of dad would I become for my child, along with wondering what type of changes would occur in my life now that I had become a father. 11 years have now passed since then, and I think the best way to describe what fatherhood has meant to me can be summed up by a recent conversation I had with one of my son's friends. This particular young child had a question to ask me, and he began his question by addressing me simply as Anthony's dad. It's amazing. There was once a time in my life when I had my own identity. But it seems nowadays my identity is recognized in connection to my children. The question of one's identity is key to our gospel account. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" The disciples replied with a variety of popular beliefs regarding the identity of Jesus. There were some who believed that Jesus was John the Baptist. This belief may have been the result of how both Jesus and John the Baptist had similar preaching styles with regards to the necessity to repent of one's sins and about the coming of God's kingdom. Other people believed Jesus to have been the prophet Elijah. This response could have been based on a teaching of the prophet Malachi, who once prophesied that Elijah would return at the end of time to announce the coming of the Messiah. There were still others who believed that Jesus may have been one of the many other ancient prophets who had returned. Jesus then continues his series of questions by asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter had spoken up on behalf of the disciples by proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ of God. By all accounts, it appears that Peter is correct in his response. Yet why would Jesus have commanded Peter and the rest of the disciples to be silent about this truth regarding Jesus' identity? Even though the questions in our gospel account relate to the identity of Jesus, in some regards, there is also an even deeper question regarding the subject of discipleship, particularly about what it will mean to live life as a disciple and follower of Christ. For now, as it stands in Luke's gospel, it would be safe to say that the disciples have to be loving life right now. They have been privileged to witness Jesus perform a variety of miracles, from casting out demons and healing the sick to even seeing our Lord feed a multitude of people with just a few loaves of bread and fish. Jesus has even allowed the disciples to share in his ministry by granting them the authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick as well. He has even been sending the disciples out to neighboring towns and villages to preach about the kingdom of God. These are the events that have been taking place thus far in Luke's gospel. These are the events that have been prompting the crowds to believe that Jesus could be either John the Baptist or the prophet Elijah. There is a lot of excitement taking place right now in the lives of the disciples with regards to our Lord and Savior. In sports terms, we could say that the disciples are riding high and they are enjoying an undefeated season. If the disciples were a sports team, they would probably be starting to make plans to compete in a championship game. That's how good life is going right now for the disciples. That is, until Jesus appears to throw a wrench into their plans by commanding them to be silent about their realization that Jesus is the Christ of God. Why? Why would Jesus silence them at this point in time? Why not let their excitement and joy continue to build up? There could be a variety of reasons for commanding them to be silent. However, one particularly strong reason for the need to be silent about Jesus' identity as the Christ of God is because his identity as the Christ will not be connected to just the miracles and healings that are being performed. Rather, the identity of the Christ of God will be connected to the cross. Just as a dad's identity can be connected to his children, so too will Jesus' identity be intimately connected to the cross and to his willingness to obediently fulfill God the Father's divine plan of salvation. This is why the disciples are commanded to be silent, because they have yet to witness the fullness of Jesus' identity and ministry. Furthermore, not only will this question about Jesus' identity be answered at the cross, but so too will the question of the disciples' own identity come to the forefront at the cross. What will it mean for them to claim to be a disciple of Christ there at the cross? What does it mean for us to be one of Jesus' followers, to be willing to accept whatever challenges we may face in life, just like Jesus willingly accepted the challenges of the cross for the greater glory of God? In a lot of ways, these questions refer to what St. Paul teaches us when he says that we have put on Christ by our baptism. If we have put on Christ, if we proclaim to be his followers, then shouldn't we, just like the disciples, continue the good work begun by our Lord, both during the good times and the bad times we face in life? Throughout his ministry, just about everything that Jesus had done, all of the miracles that he had performed, he had done them not so much to prove the existence of God, but rather everything that Jesus had done, he had done in order to reveal God's compassion and merciful love for us, his children. Sometimes, dads reveal their love for their children by always wanting to protect them from harm. But sometimes, there's only so much that any one of them can do. Our world is filled with countless stories of hardship and tragedy. Just this past week alone, it seems like all that we hear about in the news is the loss of one life after another. As a dad, I'm certain that there are a lot of dads out there who are not only grieving the loss of a child, but who wish they could have done something to have protected their kids. Sometimes, this becomes the toughest challenge of trying to live our lives as followers of Christ. In many ways, this can become the daily cross that each one of us tries to take up as we place our trust in God's merciful love in the face of tragedy. As children of God the Father, will we give in to the darkness of evil with anger and vengeance? Or will we continue to put on Christ by living our lives as a reflection of God's love and compassion for a world that is broken and in need of healing?